This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, this week I am full of hot dogs.
Oh, wow.
Veggie dogs.
I assume this was the case most weeks.
You would think so, just from the looks of me.
You come in rubbing your belly and muttering under your breath, "Oh, that's too many hot dogs."
I had two hot dogs for dinner, Tom.
Okay.
But I put, and veggie dogs.
Yeah.
Tom, the worst goddamn, I'm not going to mention, thank God. Yeah, the brand. Mm-hmm. This brand should be thanking their lucky stars, I'm not saying. The only instructions are put this in a bowl of water in the microwave and microwave it for a minute.
No, there are other ways to cook hot dogs.
No, I have to follow the prescribed instructions.
Well, there's something wrong with their hot dogs that's the only way they should be cooked, then you shouldn't buy them.
Exactly. I'm not going to buy them again. Yeah. But, you know, I put a lot of condiments on them. They're fine. But don't eat hot dogs for dinner when you're 41 years old.
Well, why not?
Because it's uncouth, it's unbecoming.
It's a nice salty treat.
It leaves you feeling weird when you try to record your podcast.
Yeah, well, great. It's good to know that that's the energy you're bringing into the show this week.
How you doing this week?
I'm good, Tim. Although, you know, I'm criticizing your energy, and I should say you came in hot this week wanting to talk about the topic way before even the microphones came out. You couldn't wait.
Oh, yeah. Normally we have, Tom, is it weird that like I come here to record once a week and we just chat for like an hour usually?
Yeah, a half hour to an hour.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we should be saving, or maybe we're just getting warmed up.
I think we're just getting warmed up and you know, we're usually talking about like personal things that we wouldn't want, broadcast to the entire world.
Yeah, but maybe we started broadcasting that stuff, people would really start leaning in.
Yeah.
And then word of mouth would spread like wildfire.
You gotta listen to this podcast. This one guy, every week he comes in this other guy's apartment. They ask each other how they're doing. They ask each other how their week. I guess that's how it began.
You're describing the show.
The difference here would be you'd hear the door open in this version. And like, here you sit down. We could add that to this with some talented Foley artists.
Yeah, I mean, we have those guys on retainer.
There is a guy standing 2 feet away from Tim with two half coconut shells in his hands.
Dying. Just like, when is the horse going to enter?
When is this guy going to say he's on a horse and I can finally do something?
Not going to happen. Not on my watch.
Don't they use like saws for something, or am I just thinking of music?
Like a woo.
Yeah, I guess maybe just.
I think
make,
they
like,
use it for UFO
noises
and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Why did I say UFOs? Let's move along.
Well, Tim, since you brought up UFOs, I won't talk about a lot of the UFO stuff going on right now. Somebody's gotten to Tim and told him, "You better get your pal there to shut his yapper about everything."
Tom, I haven't been more excited for a topic in a very long time.
Yeah, I could tell.
Do you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, Tom, first of all, you know, I don't want this show.
Yeah.
Look, we're very, very thoughtful about this show.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want this to be us talking about the internet outrage of the week, or like, hey, everybody on Twitter or Blue Sky, where Tom and I both spend most of our time, are dunking on this thing right now. Let's jump on, because by the time it comes out, it's stale.
Yeah, everybody's heard about it, and like
everybody, it's like when the late night guys are like, we didn't steal the Twitter yeah. jokes. It's just that everybody in the world made a joke about this.
Right. And there's only so many jokes that could yeah. be made about this particular situation.
But I think they steal them sometimes, right?
I don't think they steal them, but I think based on how many like people I follow on Twitter that are writers for Late Night and how often they seem to be on Twitter,
yeah.
I imagine that sometimes, yeah, it's like, oh, they didn't intentionally do it, but they remember, like, that was your idea. You saw that.
Also, people talk about, like, oh, talk shows are dying, and, mm-hmm. like, whatever, linear television's dying.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the monologue, you ever hear an interview with, like, a monologue writer for a late night show, and it's like, every night, me and the five other monologue writers, each submit 400 to 600 jokes,
right,
and that gets whittled down to 4 jokes for the monologue. It's like
4 jokes that you've heard 100 times by then already.
Yeah, like sometimes they're good jokes, I guess, but like we don't need to be putting that much manpower into like the first 6 minutes of a show that like less than 1 million people watch. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why like all those shows are losing money at this point.
Yeah, but it just seems like, guys, I mean, if you wanted to have one guy writing 450 jokes a night, or just like 5 guys each writing like 5 or 6 jokes.
I mean, or they could
read Twitter.
It would probably be a lot cheaper for them to just DM people and be like, hey, can we use your tweet? We'll Venmo you $1,000.
Yeah.
And
now you're thinking like Zaslav, Tom.
Yeah.
I like it.
I've been trying to think a lot more like Hollywood executives that are just gutting everything to get to the bottom of the barrel
Fire
quicker.
All the writers.
Yeah, and
do we actually have to Venmo them the $1,000 at the end of the day?
You say you're going to, and then they're too nervous to follow up when it doesn't come through.
And then they want to get caught up in litigation for years against one of the most powerful corporations in the history of the world.
If you know this caused us to not have to use your jokes anymore.
Mm.
I should run a network. Tim, I got all these good ideas.
I think if you were installed as a CEO of a major corporation, I think you'd slot in. Like, I think you'd get up to speed in a second and really enjoy being the worst person you could be.
Well, hey, anybody listening out there that's sitting on a board of directors, you heard it. Why not hire me as your CEO?
He's corruptible.
I'm corrupt, but for the shareholders, for shareholder value.
Yeah. And your own.
Yeah,
take.
Of course my own. But how is that different than any of these guys?
Mm.
That's why I'd be so good at it.
I know. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we're here being like, they're despicable. And I think the difference between you and me is if tomorrow they said, Tim, we're going to pay you $250 million to be despicable.
You'd be like,
I would say no. I'd say yes.
Yeah, you'd be like,
we'd all say yes.
All right, but I on my first day, I will strangle no more than 20 people. that's where I draw the line.
You don't. You metaphorically strangle them.
No, I'm saying literally. $250 million. I'll watch.
You think that's what they want you to do?
Drain from somebody's eyes as my hands are wrapped around their throat.
Tom, if there is a very bad person that mm-hmm. did bad things, and you know you saw them do it, and they did it because they wanted to, not because of anything else, how much money would it take for you to, you know, like, I guess be an executioner?
I mean, it very much depends on bad things were.
I'm talking about awful things that we can't even talk about.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, first class crimes, is that a phrase?
Could you take a life under any circumstances?
Yeah.
I don't think I could.
I think I could. I'm against the death penalty, but I think I could do it.
Yeah. And that's, again, Tom, I feel like if the city or if the feds offered you a lucrative contract to be an executioner,
yeah.
you'd be like, I'm against the death penalty, But
right. Yeah. Well, it's just like how all these CEOs are like, I vote Democrat. However, I give $100 million to this Republican because it'll lower our taxes by half a percent.
I don't think the CEOs pretend that anymore.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Ship has sailed.
But yeah, it depends on the method of execution.
Yeah.
How dirty I have to get my hands.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about, or maybe I'm thinking about.
But if it's like an easy, like throwing a switch.
Yeah, it's like, well, what we read about in.
The experiments.
Yeah, in Books the Podcast, this other podcast on Patreon, where it's like, no, not the experiments.
Okay.
The idea that somebody had was like, hey, if the president wants to launch a nuke.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Why don't we put the nuclear codes inside a man's chest?
Yeah, so he has to kill somebody
with
his bare
hands. He has to cut the guy open with a knife and murder him in order to get the nuclear codes, because like, that means that he'll have to take a life. And like, And I think if I were president, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to do that. Sorry.
Well, our current president wouldn't be able to do that, Tim. He'd be easily overpowered by the man with the... he'd be like, I know I went through with getting the nuclear codes sewn into my chest, but like, it's going to take too long for this guy to kill me. I'm just going to push him over, get him to stop.
I mean, also the guy, like, that would be... a fucked up job, right?
Being that guy?
Yeah, that would have to be your whole job. It shouldn't be like, we're going to sew the nuclear codes into your chest, and in the off chance, in the very unlikely case that we want to launch nukes, the president's going to murder you with a knife.
Yeah.
And they can also be like, and you'll need to do data entry.
Right.
Like, you got to come to work and like your whole job should be that.
Yeah.
Right?
Otherwise, like, you know, you bring a Game Boy to work, bring a book, whatever.
Yeah. You just sit on the couch in the Oval Office and just like do whatever you feel
you
like.
You always have to be within like 10 feet of the president, but you can do whatever you want. He asks you to keep phone calls to a minimum.
Would you be that guy for like...
No.
No, it's like one term.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. You probably want to see what the doomsday clock is saying at the time.
Yeah. Well, Tim, every morning I check the doomsday clock.
It's 1 4-year term.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do... is be near the president.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you have butlers and service, you know, do whatever you want. You bring a book. You watch TV. They give you an iPad.
Oh, nice.
With, like, all the streaming services. Like, they have a for-free subscription for everything.
Well, I would hope the president does.
And then at the end of 4 years, they're like, here's... 1 year of David Zaslav's pay. Here's a quarter of $1 billion.
Well, yeah, $250 million.
Yeah.
How invasive would the operation to get these put inside?
Not at all. Like,
not at all.
Or like standard outpatient.
It would be like,
when
they do like knee surgery nowadays and they can just kind of like poke some things.
Endoscopic or
whatever.
Yeah,
endoscopic. That's the word. It would be an endoscopic surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You'd drive there in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully you get in like early, like 7:30.
Yeah.
You're home by 1 p.m.
Oh, wow. That's an easy day. Yeah. I get paid for the full day?
Tom, this is part of the four... This is day one of the four years. 4 years. Like, you're not... paid out until the end of the 4 years.
Taking walking around money?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Everything's taken care of. You're with the president. The president doesn't
so
have
I can
walking
just
around.
So always ask him.
Yeah.
I want to get an ice cream too. Can I borrow $10?
Yeah, but it's not even borrowing because he'd be happy to do it. Because he's gonna feel bad because he's like, I probably gotta murder this guy.
I might have to stab you in the chest one day. So the least I could do. Is now would I be? I have a few more questions.
Okay.
Would I be like famous within the press because of this? Would I like be in every picture that the president's in?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that as a good thing?
I don't think so. I don't think I'd want to be, you know, I wouldn't want 500 people on Twitter making a joke about me and then one of the late night hosts stealing one of those
jokes. I don't think you always need to be within arm's reach of the president.
Okay.
Because it's not like, we gotta do the nukes, like, with it, like, like, you just have to agree to be able to get to him within, like, a minute.
Okay. What would be, after the term is done,
yeah,
would they take the codes out of me, or would they just change them and be like, look, the code's inside of you, it's fine.
Guess what?
It dissolves?
Dissolves.
Okay. All right. How'd they get it to dissolve exactly 4 years later? What if somebody
NASA
launches...
developed it, Tom?
Yeah, but sometimes NASA screws up.
Sometimes NASA does screw up, and that's part of the calculation you got to make.
Yeah. Well, Tim, you've certainly given me a lot to think about. What book was that in?
I want to say Atomic Habits or something.
Was that one of the habits you should be in?
You know what? I feel like Atomic Habits was a book, and we do a podcast on Patreon, Books to Podcast, where we read a book. We analyze it? Do we analyze a book?
Sure, we analyze. Sure, we dig in.
But I think Atomic Habits had like three things it wanted to say.
Yeah.
And then it was like well, that's some interesting shit we could put in this book as
habits well. Habits are good. You should develop a habit.
And like try to do multiple habits at
once. And then once you've got one habit, try and get other habits. Yeah.
And then it's just like, and now here's some interesting stories. Yeah. Did you know that some guy proposed that like the president has to murder a guy with a knife if he wants to?
Yeah. And that book's been like the number one bestseller for the past 5 years straight.
Hey.
We should make a book about habits.
We should.
Make a book about the guy that gets his chest cut open if they want to launch.
Tom, this could be a good like movie in the vein of Dave.
Yeah, right? You know what? Like the president, like who the president is, I think got. I mean, it's silly to say it got politicized, but it did. And you can't make fun movies like Dave anymore, I think, because then people are like, oh, but what is he? But what does Dave think about this issue? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, buddy, forget it. We won't make a new Dave. Thanks a lot, everybody. Tim, if I'm installed as CEO of one of these entertainment companies, we're making a new Dave.
Yeah.
We're going to make two new Daves. Dave 2.
Okay.
And then a reboot, like a full reboot.
Okay. And it'll be named like Steve. Dave 2, or just be called Dave.
Or it'd be called Dave 1.
Okay. Good.
But it would have a gender swapped lead.
Of course.
That's what you do with reboots.
I mean, most movies have to have a lady president because we have so many lady presidents now.
Tim. Well, speaking of politics, speaking of world affairs, I don't think you've actually said what we're talking about today. And a lot of listeners of this show, they don't look at the title before they have somebody else in their household start the podcast, so they don't know.
Yeah, most people are listening to this, I think, in some sort of...
against their will.
Yeah, some sort of Saw situation.
Yeah.
They're chained to a pipe or a radiator.
Right.
In a dingy room with like, moisture on the walls.
Moisture?
You know, like
just
the
like
brown
a sweaty
walls.
Room?
Yeah. And through like a loudspeaker, like an old school like air raid siren.
Yeah.
Speaker, this is piped in. Yeah. That's the primary use of this.
And
podcast.
Then eventually, it's revealed to them that the person chained up next to them has the key to the handcuff inside their chest.
Exactly.
And the room's filling up with water. Nah, not even that. They'll just keep playing the show.
Yeah, no. This is the thing that's gonna drive them.
The other guy's like, "Please do it. Please just take it out of my chest."
We Didn't Start the Fire, Tom.
Yeah, that's
a
what
song
we're talking about this
written
week.
By Billy Joel, mm-hmm. performed by Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Improved upon by Fall Out Boy.
Oh, boy. Not in, we'll get to that. Or should we not get to that? Should we talk about that first? What's relevant.
Let's get this out of. So this is newsworthy. This is ripped from the headlines.
Yeah.
Fall Out Boy, as of this recording, I think it was yesterday, was it?
I think this week.
Yeah. Hold on. Take a step back. Mm-hmm. We Didn't Start the Fire is a song written and published by American musician Billy Joel. The song was released as a single on September 18th, 1989, and later released as part of Joel's album Stormfront on October 17th, 1989. Tom, you like the name of that album a lot,
no,
right?
I don't like
it. You have a shirt for that album.
I have a magazine subscription.
A list song. It's fast-paced lyrics. Include brief references
trying to make We Didn't Start the Fire sound like a BuzzFeed article.
It includes brief references to 118 significant political, cultural, scientific, and sporting events between 1949, the year of Billy Joel's birth, and 1989, mainly chronological order.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, I never realized that it's, I think maybe I did know that in the past, but forgot it, that it's, or just hadn't thought about it, that it's like from his birth onwards.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because like, yeah, where do you start otherwise?
Right. And also, well, I don't want to get into the origins of it, but like it pretty much because was released like right before or as during the fall of the Soviet Union.
Right. A very significant event.
Basically chronicled the entire Cold War from an American perspective. Yeah. Like everything cultural.
Well, and also like any good baby boomer, Billy Joel thinks what happened during his life is by far more interesting than anything else that's happened.
Tom, do you know the origins of this song?
No.
All right, let's just jump into it here.
Yeah. Tim, yeah, we're 20 minutes
in. I keep thinking I'm going to go back to Fall Out Boy.
Look, well, maybe we'll mix things up.
Yeah, hey, this will be like a Tarantino movie. We'll be jumping all around.
Uh-huh. Hey, this doesn't have to be in chronological order.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. It's like, this could be a Tarantino movie as I'm saying that I need to do this in chronological order. Okay, this is from Wikipedia.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Hold on. So, according to Billy Joel...
Why are you telling me to hold on? You're the one reading
this
something.
This is 1989.
Uh-huh.
He has just turned...
When the song comes out.
40 years old.
Okay, yeah.
And he's like, all right, I'm reflecting on my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom,
mm-hmm.
You think of this probably in the same way that I do. This is late period Joel.
Yeah.
This is almost like extreme late period Joel.
Yeah, yeah.
This is second to last album, Billy Joel.
Yeah.
This is Billy crazy. Joel being like an old man reflecting on my life.
Yeah.
He's 2 years younger than you are now.
Yeah. But it's also crazy because it's like, I don't know, he was wrong because he's still around.
He wasn't wrong.
Well, not wrong, but it's just funny to me because
he retired from making new albums 2 years later.
But he did retire very early, though.
Yeah, I know.
No.
This is the other thing, and I think this is why turning
especially
40...
in today's like where musicians keep touring.
But this
forever.
Is the thing, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
They keep touring forever.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that messed me up about turning 40 is that anybody who like did really cool stuff, which is just like people in the arts and like sports figures, they mostly retire in their early 40s.
Yeah.
Right? And that's like because they realize
they're all used
their
up.
Best days are way behind them. It's like, all right, I've been milking this thing for 15 years more than I even should have.
Yeah.
And I'm still like, pretty soon, I'm going to think of the thing that's going to define me.
Pretty soon, I'm going to figure out what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To hear that Billy Joel was like, time to wind things down. I'm 40. Yeah. And a 1989 40 is different than a 2020.
Yeah, I think that's also true. Well, I mean, I've talked on this show before about how like I have a distinct memory as a kid of... a joke on, I think SNL, about the Rolling Stones going on the Steel Wheels tour and it being called the Steel Wheelchairs tour because they were in their like 40s, maybe 50.
Yeah.
And it was insane that it was like, no, now this is too much. Like we've joked about them still touring, you know, for the past 10 years, but now who wants to see these old decrepit men up on stage? And this was 30 years ago that they were making these jokes. So I think a lot has kind of changed with that idea. But I think certainly in the 80s and early 90s, there was this idea of like, once you're 40, nobody wants to hear your music anymore.
Right. And by and large, that's true, even with the bands that I like.
Oh, yeah. But it doesn't mean you have to, like, stop playing music and stop writing music.
No, everybody should do what they want, but I don't have to listen to it.
Yeah,
sometimes I do listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good.
Okay. He was hanging out with Sean Lennon, John Lennon's son, who was 21 at the time.
Okay.
His friend,
George Harrison,
Sean Lennon's friend, Billy Harrison. Actually, George Harrison's son's name is Danny, but it's spelled like, I think,
Well,
it wasn't Danny Harrison either. Okay. It was just Sean Lennon's friend, probably a guy.
Yeah, probably.
Probably some hipster hanger-on or something.
Yeah, probably some CEO's son.
Yeah. He said, "It's a terrible time to be 21," to which Billy Joel replied, "Yeah, I remember when I was 21, I thought it was an awful time, and we had Vietnam, and, you know, drug problems, and civil rights problems, and everything seemed to be awful."
And then Sean, did he just, like, walk over to a piano?
Sean Lennon's friend replied, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, but it's different for you. You were a kid in the 50s, and everyone knows that nothing happened in the 50s. Billy Joel retorted, "Wait a minute. Didn't you hear of the Korean War or the Suez Canal crisis?" The trouble of the Suez. And then he was just like, "Hey, this gives me an idea for a song."
And did he ever? It sounds like he didn't even remember Sean Lennon's friend's name.
I mean, at least the Wikipedia article didn't call it out.
I wonder if that guy ever knew this story and was kind of like, "Well, I guess he showed me," after he saw that video for the first time on MTV.
Probably. Yeah. This was a video that got airplay.
Oh, yeah. I remember it being on kitchen. TV all the time.
Yeah, the guy burning his draft card and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good video, actually. Yeah. I remember it was kind of cool. Like, the time would, like, the decades were passing as Billy Joel was just singing at a kitchen table, pounding on it.
Now, Tom, do you think Billy Joel would take offense to someone in 2023 saying it's a shitty time to be 21, what with, like, this is somebody, if they went to college, was all, like, you know, probably remote for the first couple of years because there was a global pandemic.
Yeah.
There was massive unrest in the streets where, like, there were curfews imposed on major cities. There's horrible global warming and late stage capitalism is like causing inequality to be worse.
I think Billy Joel now would be like, "Yeah, this is a pretty shitty time to
or
be 21.
Do you think he's just like, "Nah, man, haven't you ever heard of the Suez Canal crisis?
You think this is bad? Oh boy, I had to live through that crisis in the Suez."
Or do you think he's just like, "I don't know, man. I live in a $75 million house with a bowling alley in it. And, like, you can't, I can't possibly comment on this."
I don't think he would take himself out of the conversation. I think he's a Long Islander. He's got an opinion.
He took himself out of the conversation, Tom, 30 years ago.
Yeah, but he's still got opinions about shit.
Yeah. I don't hear him all that often, though.
No, I think probably his wife hears him.
Yeah. 23-year-old wife or whatever. I think his only opinion is like, "Yes, I would like another bottle of wine." Yeah. And yes, I am going to drive myself home.
Yeah, that it is funny. I mean, that's a very boomer thing to do, to be like, oh, I'll write a song about it to show this teenager that my life was harder, but also more interesting. Yeah, because the thing is, like, you know, Billy Joel's right. Like, a lot of crazy shit happened during his life. But it's like, yeah, he wasn't in Vietnam. He was in the Korean War. Like, he was just being the local piano man.
Yeah, there was, they put bread in his jar.
Yeah.
As they sat at the bar.
Yeah, and he's like, come on, what am I going to do with this? Put some money in the jar. Every night I've got to take all this bread out.
Yeah, he didn't mention it in the song, Tom, and this is an oversight. He should have mentioned how back then they called money bread.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, Tom,
mm-hmm.
musically,
yeah,
this song, nothing special. And Billy Joel will even admit to that.
Mm-hmm.
He primarily takes umbrage mm-hmm. with. Do you take umbrage with something?
Yes, you take umbrage with something. Usually with a glass of water.
The verse melody, which is just
that's fun. It's like a marching band song.
Yeah, I think he's at times he's referred to the song as dog shit.
Yeah,
but then he's always like quick to be like, yeah, that song's kind of dog shit musically. Melodically, it's dog shit.
Yeah.
But there's some intellectual stuff in the lyrics there.
Yeah.
Then
usually he doesn't like his lyrics.
No.
Usually he talks shit about his lyrics.
Yeah. He's a man of contradictions. I don't know how...
He's a man of extremes.
He can't figure out. He doesn't know why he goes to them.
I'll tell you why. It's all that drinking.
This appeared on his Stormfront record, Tom. Mm-hmm. Tom, the song Stormfront.
Yeah.
Backing vocals by Mr. Richard Marx.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I didn't know that till I was doing some research for this yesterday. Huh.
Was that before Dickie hit it big, or
no? 89? No.
Oh, yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Uh huh.
Is this gonna make sense if I play this on this? We're not gonna insert it, but like maybe the mic will pick this up. Maybe it'll not. What is going on in the beginning of this?
Oh, with the like. Yeah, it like kind of sounds like it's like a live crowd, but
yeah,
not
but what
really.
Is that first thing? Is that like a guitar going like?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was probably just he thought it sounded cool. It does sound cool.
I guess. Maybe he was trying to recreate the at the beginning of Allentown.
I mean, like, I was going to say, I think he's just a guy that likes having a little sound effects kick off his songs.
Tom, mm-hmm. I'm getting so good at playing Allentown on the piano.
I'm glad to hear it. Maybe you should move to Allentown.
I'm not going to move to Allentown. Sounds pretty dire there. They're closing all the factories
down. Sounds like it was dire there 30 years ago. I can't imagine what it's like now. It's probably nice now.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention there's a kid at the bus stop, Brandon. Not Joe Brandon.
All right.
Brandon, when a kid I knew when I was 7 years old.
Are you talking about today?
No.
Tell me about some kid you talked to at the bus stop.
No, when I was 7, I talked to this kid.
Okay.
And
you took the bus to school?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
Pink bus.
It's crazy.
Yeah. All the buses had colors.
Yeah.
All
the buses had colors and they put me on the girl bus.
It was pink bus. And I expected a big, like, I was, like, you mortified. I was, like, because I was, right. like, I'm going to show up to school in a big, like, Barbie bus. And, yeah. like,
and
hey,
the
it's
whole
1989.
School's
going
to be waiting outside to laugh at me.
No, I just had a piece of pink construction paper in the window. It was a yellow school bus. Mm-hmm. It was fine. And I would argue, these days, that wouldn't even be a problem.
No.
You know. Yeah, everybody.
I'm actually kind of surprised that
they've
back
ungendered the colors, which is a good thing, which is a positive thing.
I'm kind of surprised back then that they would have had a pink bus, just because they had to have known, like, every freaking 8-year-old boy is going to be.
I think what happened was they had like six bus routes or whatever. Yeah. And they had to have colors, and they're just like, they bought a thing of construction paper, and they're like, what are the colors in here? Okay, yeah, like, there's only 6 colors of paper in here, so we got to use one of those.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just pick out the colors so we can get back to molesting the children.
Brandon taught everyone at the bus stop his parody version of this. I didn't fart, you liar.
I love that. Such a good version of it.
Did you have that at your bus stop? Oh, you didn't have a bus stop.
I didn't have a bus stop. No.
You lived real close to the school.
I went
to
school in a limousine every day.
If you had gotten a bus, I'd be like, no, cut the Reynolds bus out of the budget here.
I know that I was mad that I didn't get to take a bus to school because that was, you know, something from cartoons. Yeah. And I think my parents weren't thrilled just because they were like, well, you know, yeah, we're close to the school, but like I still have to take him there.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that my drive is like 2 minutes shorter than like your parents' drive would have been.
Tom, I got news for you. You to the school, to the elementary school, to the grade school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The grade school
was comparable to me walking to the bus stop.
Yeah, the grade school was like 2 blocks away from my house. Yeah, that was, because I remember.
If you needed your mommy to walk you there or drive you there, Tom.
I was going to say, I remember even as like a pretty little kid walking.
You were a pretty little kid.
Walking to the grade school.
I heard the teachers talking about it, the teacher's line.
Walking to the school. Alone when I was like pretty young, you know, I think second grade I was definitely walking to school and home by myself, but maybe even younger, probably not elementary school, probably grade school.
Well, we'll go into the archives and figure it out.
There is a crossing guard to help with the big street.
And I just want to point out the when you made a reference to molestation.
Mm-hmm. It didn't happen in the grade school. It happened in high school.
Yeah, but I saw also you weren't making a tasteless joke about like, hey, this is like this was something that happened.
Yeah, it was
in the school district.
Rampant in our school district.
It happened.
It was rampant.
Yeah. It's something we're not happy about.
It seems like it got more rampant after we left.
Yeah. Because we weren't there to, you know, keep everybody in line.
No, because the teachers who were doing it when we were there is so obviously that we knew as, like, you know, dumb kids, dumb teenagers, like, oh, these guys are creeps. When other grown men came to work there and they realized, oh, these guys are creeps and nobody does anything about it. Maybe I'll become a creep.
Yeah. And, like, kind of like on a mentor relationship.
Yeah.
Tom, some alternate titles that Billy Joel kicked around for this.
I didn't fart, you liar.
With Rolling Stones, Jan Wenner.
Who? With Rolling Stone magazine?
Yeah.
Okay. Why was he kicking him around with a magazine writer?
Because this guy from Rolling Stone, like, inserted himself into all fucking music stuff. Dancing Through the Fire.
Uh-huh.
And Waltzing Through the Fire.
Waltzing Through the Fire. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean,
Dancing Through. Yeah. We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. How could it have had a different title? Would those lyrics have changed?
Probably.
Or I guess you could say Dancing Through the Fire, it's always been burning since the world was turning.
Yeah.
We didn't start the fire is a good. Even though, like, the song doesn't really allude to that idea.
I mean, or is it just like, this is all the messed up stuff that happened in my life. And not all of it is.
Yeah, some, like, of it's good.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's not the baby boomers' fault, guys. We didn't do this.
Yeah, look at everything that happened.
Stuff was always fucked up.
Yeah.
And we tried to fight it. Mm-hmm. We did. Oh, no, they're good. They're good folks.
I'm just looking over some of the lyrics because, like, I've heard the song a million times, but I'm trying to see if there's. I mean, there's a lot of stuff even now that I'm like, I don't know what this is. Pan Moon Jam.
Pan Moon John.
What's that?
It's complicated. It's kind of like, it's a border village in Korea, and it was the location of the truce talks between the parties of the Korean War. Tom, you're as bad as Sean Lennon's friend. You didn't know about the Korean War.
Tim, look, I'll level with you. Cut this part out of the podcast. I'm hoping Billy listens to this episode, and he's so infuriated that he records a new version.
To supersede the awful Fallout Boy version?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it won't even be about stuff that's happened since 1989 till now. Maybe he'll just take another crack at this. He'll be like, that wasn't all that happened. Here's some other stuff.
Do you have affection for this song, Tom?
Yes.
Do you think it's a good song? That's my reaction to this song and, like, most of Billy Joel's catalog.
Right.
It's like, I have tremendous
affection. I think it's
an
incredibly unique song and a very...
It's very unique. If you haven't heard It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, which was released, like, 1 or 2 years earlier.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. Maybe Billy Joel was like, this is the start of a new genre, list music.
I mean, it's list song is a clickable link in Wikipedia.
Oh, I bet that Bare Naked Ladies song is in there. 1 week.
Oh, let's see. I mean, that's just fast lyrics.
Yeah, but it's like a list. It's like a
1 week, Bare Naked Ladies.
Yep, see? It's a list song.
There's way too many.
List songs?
The Bad Touch. Which is You and Me, Baby, the Bloodhound Gang, as it lists many euphemisms for sexual acts.
Yeah, I'd include it as a list song.
Mm.
Somebody should make a list song about this list.
Yeah. Hold on. Is the only other one that I could think of is, what's that? Is it a Queens of the Stone Age song where they, like, list all the drugs?
Oh, yeah, ecstasy, cocaine.
Yeah. Is that Feel Good Hit of the Summer?
Yeah, I think so. Is that in there?
Not in there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It looks like old Timmy's going to be updating Wikipedia today.
It's just really...
I finally have something to contribute.
It's really just the chorus that does that. And yeah. They only name, like, I don't know, like six different things.
It's a list.
Yeah, it is a list.
A list can be six things, Tom. A list can be six things.
I mean, sometimes I go to the supermarket.
Gatekeeping what a list is, Tom?
Sometimes I go to the supermarket, and my list isn't even that long. I went there today to get bread and toilet paper. Or not bread and toilet paper. I'm thinking of money. I went there to get beer and toilet paper. I looked like a real guy with a fun night ahead of him.
Yeah.
I'm always so self-conscious of what else I'm buying when I'm buying toilet paper, and I shouldn't be.
Yeah, I have that too. It's like these people are going to think I'm some sort of sick freak.
Yeah.
They'll never believe that stuff comes out of my butt.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, I mean, yeah, often I'm buying toilet paper. It's a thing that you always need more of. But I'm always so self-conscious if it's like a night that... like Laura's not around and I have to like fend for myself for dinner and I didn't think about that till like 9 o'clock. So yeah. Now I'm like, I'll just go get like a frozen
lean
pizza.
Cuisine and a package of toilet paper.
Yeah.
And a single roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, and it feels like, come on, man, start shopping ahead a little bit.
Tom.
Boy, did you blow through all your toilet paper and now you think, oh, I should start eating healthier so I'll get a lean cuisine when I get my next roll?
You think if you eat lean cuisines, you use less toilet paper?
I think a guy who blows through a bunch of toilet paper.
Also, like, how do they know how quickly? Unless you're going in there, I could see if it's the same cashier and you're going in and buying a 4-pack of toilet paper every day. They're like, this guy's blowing through. But nobody's going to think that, like, because you're buying toilet paper, you must have gone through all of your toilet paper so quickly.
Well, let me ask you this, Sam. When you, like, put toilet paper on the conveyor belt, do you say to the cashier every time? Well, I guess you know what this is for.
I always just go, it's not for me.
Fuck it, for somebody else.
He was asked, Billy Joel was like, hey, you ever going to do a follow-up to this song?
Mm-hmm. No, I'll let Fall Out Boy do it.
He said, no, I wrote one song already, and I don't think it was really that good to begin with.
That's
melodically.
That's what he says about everything he's ever done.
I know. He's kind of cool in that way. That, like,
no,
you know it's, like, bluster, but, like, you know he does, like, like, he's arrogant and narcissistic as anybody would be in his position. But, like, he still does think that he's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, but I think he has that kind of Long Island thing where, like, he'll say that all day, but if anyone around him was ever like, that song was all right, he'd be like, fuck you, fly off the handle.
Yeah. He also, somebody asked, or, you know, he was asked at one point, I guess somebody asked him this, if it was meant to be a chronicle of the Cold War.
Yeah.
He said, it was just my luck that the Soviet Union decided to close down shop right after I put the song out.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, I lucked into it. And like that made a nice little symmetry.
He didn't claim that he had anything to do with it.
Maybe he did.
He did. I mean, he did that concert in Russia where he was screaming at the guy.
Well, you know why he was screaming at the guy.
Yeah, because they were like shining lights on people to like take him out.
Yeah, or not even to take. He was just like, he was afraid that like people would be marked for like.
Yeah.
Whatever. You were an enemy of the state.
Yeah, because
you're enjoying American
Billy Joel
rock and roll
too much.
Yeah, because that's the. That was pretty edgy in the Soviet Union.
Man, imagine getting sent to the fucking gulag because you were dancing too much at a Billy Joel concert.
Billy Joel, yeah. Stormfront, pretty good.
You know,
album,
he's not gonna help you. He's not gonna, you know, send his helicopter to go get you out of the gulag, drop you off at his yard in Sag Harbor.
I mean, he would if he could. I don't think Billy Joel's as bad of a guy as you think, as you claim he is.
No, I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think he's not gonna go out of his way to save a political prisoner.
All right.
Maybe he will. Maybe you will. We got to follow up, find out if any of those people are still in the gulag.
Yeah. And then also I'm reminded, like, every time there's a... You know, I'm like, hey, Billy Joel's a good guy. He's salt of the earth. He would be blue-collar if he didn't have...
living room.
Yeah. And then, either that or, like, he announced that he's ending his residency at Madison Square Garden. And he's up there with freaking James Dolan, like, hey, and thank you to this man, the greatest man on earth. It's like,
I thought you were going to say, like, he's ending his run because everything's too woke now.
But I don't think... I think if I haven't heard him speak on the subject,
no.
But I think like he'd be like, he'd be very Long Island about it, where he'd be like, "Well, I think he'd have a progressive take on it with a Long Island twist to it, where it'd be like, hey, it's none of my business what these freaks want to do with their lives.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, just don't shove it in my face. Yeah. Do whatever you want.
But, like, I'm fully supportive of it, but whoo, some wackadoos out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that would definitely be his attitude.
Yeah. But, like, it's better that, like, I'd hesitate to call him an ally on any
right,
issue.
Right, but he's not, like, a hateful man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, he'll just fuck off to his mansion and ride his chopper around.
Yeah. I do think he's the kind of guy that, like, I think he does appreciate art and artists.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Look, he's the piano man.
He sure is.
He's the uptown girl herself.
No, that was his ex-wife.
Christie Brinkley.
Christie Brinkley. Everybody, the Beauty and the Beast. That's what they said.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They called him the Beast? I mean, he wasn't a great-looking man.
No, but I mean, she was, like, at the time, you know, the most beautiful
for
woman in America.
Time?
Yeah, for the longest time. She was. She had a long reign as, like, a, you know, an incredibly beautiful woman. Back in the day when, you know, you could just sell posters, and that was
of a lady.
Yeah, and that was a lucrative business.
Yeah. I maintain Christie Brinkley still looks fabulous today.
She does. She looks great.
Where the last time I saw her, which was on Parks and Rec
episode. Billy Joel doesn't look bad either.
He lost a lot of weight recently.
Did he?
I watched a 60 Minutes Australia.
I get a lot of those videos on YouTube, too. Why is that?
Interview. I don't know. But it was from a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they started doing a story on Billy Joel pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
And then they had to pause it because of the pandemic.
And when
it was Australia.
Back, he had lost weight. So yeah, they were like, now we have to address this.
Yeah, really. And like the whole thing turned into like... him talking about his weight loss journey.
What's his secret? What'd he do?
I think he just, his doctor told him he should lose weight. Mm-hmm. And he realized he wasn't a young man anymore and should listen to his doctor. And I think the whole thing was like, he was trying to make it this thing of like, hey, I was the angry young man.
Mm-hmm.
You
but
know
now
that
I'm
song?
The wise old man.
But, you know, I was always thumbing my nose at authority.
Yeah.
But now in my old age, I realize I can't be that angry young man anymore. It'll literally kill me.
It's very funny. I mean, that's one of the funny things about Billy Joel to me is that like Billy Joel really sees himself as like a true punk.
Yeah.
Like, I was always, giving the finger to authority and it's like, but I don't know, authority wasn't really doing anything to you.
Okay, so when this song came out, like nobody was ever like,
we're burning all the Billy Joel records. They're too sexual. When you play him backwards, you hear messages from the devil. He was a guy in the 80s putting out fucking doo-wop albums.
That's true. I really wish that if I could remove one chapter from the Billy Joel discovery, it would be that. Because that makes him seem way lamer than he actually is. He's got some...
But that's what I'm saying when he talks about, like, thumbing his nose at authority. Yeah, it's like authority's over there snapping their fingers like, hey, we love this song. It's It's like a barbershop quartet. Oh, this is great. Fuck you, pig. It's like, no, no, we love it, Billy.
In 1990, Tom, mm-hmm. they sent out 40,000 audio cassettes to schools.
Oh, wow.
It had We Didn't Start the Fire on mm-hmm. it, but preceding it, before, it had a 10-minute lecture from Billy Joel.
Oh, wow.
About the importance of history.
Huh.
Which is like,
I'm sure that's online somewhere. I'd like to listen to that.
I searched it.
Oh, you can find it? Really?
Yeah. What was the name of it? Whatever. And it's like just bullshit. Like, history is a living thing. If we don't learn from the mistakes of history, we're doomed to repeat them. But like, I could see that being like 40 seconds of an intro that we did. What is he talking about for 10 minutes?
The other 9 minutes are him like complaining about the guy who's got the slip next to him at the dock and the dock master not doing anything about it.
He was upset that like the guy at the bakery like didn't let him skip the line even though he's Billy Joel.
Yeah, I go there all the time. He knows who I am. He knows my face.
And I wouldn't mind. I can wait like a normal person, but like, and I like it, but like, I love all my fans, but like, I'm getting bothered all the time. People want a picture. People want an autograph. I'm just trying to get a loaf of bread. I got a sauce jar.
Tim, I feel like we haven't talked enough about the Fallout.
All right, let's transition over to the Fallout.
Okay, I have the lyrics in front of me. Do you know it all from? So what the story here is that Fallout Boy,
they made it like an event. The day before, they were like, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, mm-hmm. like 8 a.m. London, like we are going to release mm-hmm. the version of Billy Joel's
We Didn't Start the Fire 89-23.
Yeah. Like, nobody asked for this. I'll tell you this. I don't know one Fall Out Boy song. I've never heard a Fall Out Boy song.
You've heard that. We're going in there and sure we're going down.
That's them?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Do they also sing the Pete Buttigieg song?
What was that song
the
again?
The High Hope song?
Yeah,
is that Fall Out Boy?
So. Yeah, maybe. They're also like a weird band because they've got like...
Oh, no, that's Panic at the Disco.
Oh, okay.
Thought was Fall Out. Like, yeah. It now occurs to me that those are two different bands.
But they... And maybe they don't do the song I just sang either, but...
That's Sugar, We're Going Down?
Yeah. But a weird band because they... Like, Pete Weiss, is that his...
Yeah,
Pete
that's
Wentz. Wentz.
Pete Wentz. All I know is that he showed his wiener on the internet one time.
Did he?
I think.
Okay. I can't be sure.
There's a guy named Patrick Stump.
Oh, he plays the drums, I assume?
No, he's the singer.
Oh, okay. I have pictured him sitting on a stump playing the drums.
You think drummers sit on stumps?
I think Patrick Stump does. Maybe that's how he got the name.
His actual name is Patrick Stumpf.
Oh, okay.
S-T-U-M-P-H.
Yeah.
But he excised the H to be more rock and roll.
Probably just because every time somebody asked him his name, he had to be like, Stump, but then with an F.
Yeah.
And he got sick of doing that. That's not rock and roll. That's just common sense. I was going to say Fall Out Boy is a weird band because Pete Wentz is like the most known member and he's not the singer.
He's the bassist.
Yeah, which is always unusual.
That's what happened with Interpol. Wasn't there, what is his name, Carlos G?
Yeah, the bassist.
Yeah.
Yeah, he left the band. I don't know if he came back or whatever.
Yeah, he became like an artist. But like the only guy I knew mm-hmm. from Interpol was that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think more people
and
probably
then there was
know
a guy in
Flea
the band
than
went,
Anthony Kiedis. the singer,
Good band.
So the thing that I think really stinks about this is there's a bunch of things. But the big one is that they're like, oh, we should do this. When I'm sure if you look on YouTube, there's like hundreds of people that have had this idea.
But those are ukulele versions, Tom.
It's just not that great of an idea to begin with. And then it's not executed well.
Right. Carlos and, D.
Carlos D, not G. Sorry.
I spent way too long on the actual Interpol Wikipedia, and I was like, "International Police." Name? So sorry. Yeah. Go on.
What's all this garbage about Carmen Sandiego? I'm trying to find out this bassist name. My primary problem with the lyrics to this new version is that they are not chronological. And Billy Joel's is not always chronological, but it's like close.
It's like year by year, pretty chronological. So it's like, I remember in the liner notes of like, Stormfront in the lyrics, it did have headers of cited? The year.
Okay. And I was like, it's like, this happened the month before the next thing I'm going to mention, or a month after the next thing. But
and
like,
he said it's kind of like a Tarantino movie in that way.
He said that? Yeah. And what did Quentin Tarantino think of that at the time? He was probably like in high school, working at that video store.
He was writing True Romance.
Yeah, and he was probably like, oh, wow, all right.
Billy Joel.
Inspiring. Never put any of his music in his movies, to the best of my knowledge, though.
Not that I'm aware of either.
But yeah, the fact that the Fall Out Boy version is not chronological, I feel like they missed the whole fucking point, which is it's impressive that he found a way to rhyme all these things still in order. If you were going to just pick out of the fucking ether anything that's happened in the last 34 years and make it rhyme in any order... Yeah, anyone could do, not anyone, but most people could do that.
Yeah, and honestly, Tom, maybe Billy Joel...
Well, I corrected myself because I didn't think about people in comas.
Yeah, they can't write lyrics, Tom.
And you shouldn't ask that of them.
You shouldn't expect that. I think Billy Joel might be behind this Fall Out Boy thing. I think he hears people like us talking shit about We Didn't Start the Fire, and not melodically. He understands that melodically is not great. I was always like, that song's kind of cheesy, and like, and then I was just like, actually, that's like the Fall Out Boy version made me reflect on the Billy Joel version and be like, that's actually pretty impressive that he was able to do this.
Yeah,
that not even Pete Wentz and Patrick Stump could pull off a similar feat.
I'm just looking at some of these lyrics.
Let's go. Let's do it. You know what? The other thing is when it's like super recent history, and like there's like a section where it's like black people who were killed by police officers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, and they're like, hey, let's make a verse of all those names. And it's like... Guys, are you guys the ones to be doing this?
Yeah. Well, but it's not even that, because I'm looking at this one example. Meghan Markle, George Floyd, Burj Khalifa, Metroid. Metroid, guys?
Also, Metroid.
That came out in 88.
And that's what you're going to rhyme with George Floyd?
George Floyd,
like,
Metroid.
Also, it's like, this is very, a lot of this stuff is very charged and very recent.
Yeah.
You got to be careful how you present things. It's right. Like, what rhymes with George Floyd? Metroid. Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, Metroid's cool.
I think that's one of the other big differences is that because they, JFK blown away, what else do I have to say? Mm-hmm. But it's like at that time that it happened 26 years ago. But here he has, they have Shinzo Abe blown away. And it's like, that just happened.
And also, did you guys know who Shinzo Abe was?
Yeah. What else I'm looking at? Oh, I thought there was a line about, they have Keaton Batman. I thought there was something Keaton 89 or Batman 89. And it's like, but nobody called it Batman 89 back then.
Well, you made up a thing that wasn't in the song and got mad about it. So
yeah, that's fine.
I'm not
going to
dig
fair.
Fallout Boy for that one.
Fermi Paradox, Venus and Serena. Fermi Paradox, why? That's okay.
What's the Fermi Paradox?
The Fermi Paradox is the paradox of if there's so many planets out there, so many galaxies, and there has to be intelligent life, how come we haven't been contacted by any of that?
Okay.
And it's this, I think it's like an astrophysicist Fermi that right. came up with it. And it's like, yeah, but it's like, I didn't realize that is even something that came about in the last 40 years.
It's not. It's certainly not.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, it could be. Yeah. And then, I mean, the biggest cringe part of this, World Trade second plane. What else do I have to say?
Also, plane and say?
Yeah.
Those blown don't... away. What else do I have to say?
Yeah. Away, say. They rhyme. Plane and say doesn't...
And also, second plane, like... The first plane also was
caused a lot of problems.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure if you kept paying attention to what happened to the first tower after it got hit. But I think that's the other thing that, and I read something from them where they kind of defended that by being like, well, we were trying to think of like, what's our generation's JFK? And they're 100% right that those are very equivalent American events that happen. Mm. But it's like, but you didn't have that attention to detail about the rest of the song.
And like
also
the
that
attention
part
to detail.
Didn't rhyme.
Yeah. And didn't it come like at the beginning of a, or did it come at the end of a verse?
No, it's at the very end. Okay. It's where JFK blown away would be.
And he didn't mention the Rock and Roller Cola Wars, which continued beyond 1989.
Tim, we're still fighting them.
I know. And they're remiss not to mention it. Also, for a band named for a Simpsons character.
Yeah.
1989, freaking one of the most influential television shows of the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Debuted The Simpsons, and you're not going to mention The Simpsons? And you know who else they don't mention?
What?
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, they don't mention O.J. Simpson. I'm looking. I don't think they mention Ukraine, maybe?
They don't mention COVID.
You don't mention COVID? Like, yeah, sure, Billy Joel, like, didn't hit everything, but he hit the big ones. And, like... Yeah.
The thing that made us all stay inside for a year didn't make the list.
Yeah, if you think 40 years from now, COVID and what's going on in Ukraine right now aren't going to be huge, COVID more than Ukraine, hopefully, will be the bigger, you know, more people died. It was a global thing. But I mean, Ukraine, it's like...
I like that you've suddenly gotten yourself tied up in this thing about having to defend.
I don't
want to
say that, like, what's happening in Ukraine isn't important.
I know, Tom. Can but we just say, for shame, Fallout Boy, to put Tom in this
shame.
In this,
look,
in this
now
position.
I'm going to get canceled. Unbelievable. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can find all our social media links and whatnot there, our subreddit, our Discord. They're great times. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/completeguide. You can find episodes of Books of Podcasts. This week, we're wrapping up the novelization of...
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Say One Tree Hill. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood by Quentin Tarantino, and you're thinking, oh, but but who wrote the book? He wrote the book too, you knucklehead. Patreon.com/complete.
Listen, you idiot. Now go over there and pay us $5 a month
to listen to us. You get all the back episodes of Books of Podcasts and a whole lot more. Patreon.com/complete guide. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and as Tim alluded to earlier, Blue Sky at Tom Reynolds.
Yeah, only follow me on Blue Sky at your pal Tim.
Wow. Tim only wants the coastal elites to follow him.
That's true. Tom, this is the rare episode where we were mostly on topic the whole time.
Yeah.
And I still feel like we got nowhere.
I know. I still
we didn't get into any of the Billy Joel lyrics.
Nope. And except we got into Pound like John. Four lines from the Fall Out Boy version. Maybe we should just pivot to making this a We Didn't Start the Fire podcast. We'll never run out of things to talk about.
There is a We Didn't Start the Fire podcast there. And it's a good, I've actually heard this numerous people like talk about starting
through, like,
this.
History.
It just goes like every episode is the next.
Oh, okay.
Thing.
Yeah.
Cool. I've never listened to it. I'm sure there's probably more than one that actually do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray.
I've started watching White House Plumbers on HBO. You know about this show?
Yeah, with Woody Boyd from Cheers.
Harrelson and Justin Theroux. And
you know what? Cheers didn't make either Billy Joel or Fall Out Boy. And
it premiered. Have been in both.
Yeah, exactly. The premiere of Cheers.
Premiere of Cheers, finale of Cheers.
And finale of Cheers and Fall Out Boy, yeah.
That would have given Fall Out Boy a free line there that they could have put in. But yeah, I started watching White House Plumbers. And it's one of those things where, like, I feel like, you know, when we were kids, there was still so many people talking about Watergate. And it's like, I still don't really know what, well, like, I know, like, the broad strokes, but I don't know the whole thing.
About Watergate?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I know,
haven't,
like,
you seen All the President's Men?
No, I haven't seen All the President's Men.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Men.
You should.
But watching this, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, it's interesting to see history sometimes. I could do one of these intros for one of these tapes they sent to schools.
Your whole life would have been different if they sent us that 10-minute Billy Joel lecture.
Man, we probably would have brought it up on this show every episode. Hey, remember that time in school they just played a tape from Billy Joel talking to us? God, I wish. We were at a fucking Long Island school.
Yeah.
They get
yeah,
lost.
Where were
in the
they
mail?
Sending these things?
Yeah,
yeah,
what the hell? I'm sure all of our teachers would have been, they would have had a fucking assembly to play this for us.
I do remember, like, this song was a big deal, and not just with Brandon at the bus stop.
Right, it went way beyond that. Like, now there's Joe Brandon you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, it was Joe Brandon.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.